John Wesley has said, "I want to know one thing, the way to heaven. God himself has condescended to teach the way. He hath written it down in a book. Oh, give me that book. Here is knowledge enough for me. Let me be a man of one book." That's the end of the quote, and I hope you are a man or a woman of one book. I'm reading today from 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 19 through 21. "We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost." Now, Peter began the first chapter of his second epistle with the thought of faith, but he concludes by giving attention to fact. Some consider the two as opposites, but this is not the case in the Christian life. The precious faith of which Peter speaks in verse 1 is substantiated by the sure word of prophecy of verse 19. In other words, the faith which believers possess in Christ is not without fact. The Christian faith is well established on the solid foundation of reality. Now, the apostle reminds us that we have also a more sure word of prophecy. The prophecy of which he is speaking is the word of God, which is contained in the book which we call the Bible. This is a more sure word of prophecy in the sense that it is firm and stable. It can be trusted and relied upon. In the Scriptures, we have God's revelation of truth put into permanent form that everyone may know the eternal plan of the ages. The Lord continues to speak through the Bible, his infallible word. Let's suppose it were announced by the press, radio, and television that on a certain day, a particular hour, God would speak from heaven to all the people in the world. Do you think they would take the time to listen? Why, surely they would. Stores would be closed. Transportation would be halted. Schools would be dismissed in order that everyone might witness this rare occasion. Doubtless only a few people would miss this exceptional opportunity to hear the voice and message of God. But let's remind ourselves that God has spoken. In fact, he has nothing more to say to us at present. He has revealed his entire plan and purpose for mankind. Not only has he spoken, but he has seen to it that what he said was placed in a book that every succeeding generation until the return of Christ might know the message of God. Indeed, the Bible is a more sure word of prophecy. It will continue to stand after everything else crumbles. In Isaiah 40, verse 8, God declares, "The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever." Because the Scriptures are what they are, Peter says, "Whereunto ye do well that ye take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place." Probably at no time in history has the entire world been blanketed more by the darkness of confusion and distress than it is today. We are weighted down with burdens and problems far beyond the capacity of the human mind. But though we may be perplexed and bewildered, in the midst of it all, there is light. Psalm 119, verse 105 declares, "The word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." What would some of us have done when we did not know which way to turn or what to do next, had it not been for the light we found in God's blessed word? On the other hand, where might some of us have been today had we faithfully searched the Scriptures and obeyed them rather than following in the way of the flesh? How important that those of us who know the Lord Spend time praying over the pages of God's sacred word. I wonder how many of us could say, as did God's servant in Job 23:12, I have esteemed the words of God's mouth more than my necessary food. Job considered the use of the scriptures in his daily routine to be far more important than essential food for bodily sustenance. Evidently, the well-known Chinese Christian, the late Leland Wang, felt the same way, for he said frequently, "No Bible, no breakfast." He was not willing to approach the breakfast table until he had first fed his soul upon the heavenly manna of the Word of God. Such a practice is commendable if we are to know God's best. We are told in Acts 17, verse 11, that the Berean Christians searched the Scriptures daily. I cannot help but feel that most of this searching was done in the early morning hours. Not only is this the best time because of the alertness of our minds, but it suggests to God our love and adoration to Him and seeking to keep Him in the place of preeminence. This is not to mention the blessings we receive, such as comfort, guidance, inspiration, and many other essentials with which to face the uncertainties of the day. Do not rush off into the many activities of the day without taking time to prepare yourself adequately. Meditation on God's Word is a requisite for this preparation. Peter says the sure word of prophecy is to be used as the believer's guidebook until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. The world in which we live is shrouded with the darkness of sin, suffering, and sorrow. But true followers of the Lord Jesus have hope in their hearts, the blessed hope of the soon coming of Christ, who said in Revelation 22:16, "I am the bright and morning star." Christ will return to rule and reign on earth. During this earthly reign of Christ, the Lord's people will rule with Him in perfect bodies, free from sin and physical infirmity. They shall be like Him. What a day that will be when the day star arises and the shadows flee away. Until that time, we have a more sure word of prophecy that cannot and will not mislead us, for it is the eternal word of the living God. Peter goes on to say, concerning the sure word of prophecy, "Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation." Now, the word private here is often translated "its own." In other words, Scripture is to be compared with Scripture, rather than given its own isolated interpretation and meaning. You see, the Bible is not a collection of writings, but a divinely inspired whole. Prophecy is not the various individual writers' inspired reflections, but the truth of God. Thus, in understanding the mind of God, we must compare Scripture with Scripture, realizing that though the Bible consists of 66 books, they are actually one book brought together by the Holy Spirit. Well, keep in mind, we have also a more sure word of prophecy. If anyone wants to know the truth, there is only one place to go, God's holy word. I urge you, if you are not saved, to turn to some passages like John 3, verse 16, Romans 10, verses 9 and 10, and many more verses throughout the Scriptures, and discover for yourself that salvation is through Jesus Christ only. And if you've never taken Him into your life, I hope you'll do it right now. Blessed Lord, I thank You for Your holy word. May the Spirit of God use it in many hearts today, for I ask in Jesus' name, amen.